In the latest issue of Reason magazine, the headline screams, "Neil Conan, they know where you are." And to prove it, there on the cover is a satellite image of NPR's headquarters circled in red. This is not just a gimmick to catch a few journalists off guard or maybe catch their attention. Later this week, more than 40,000 subscribers to Reason magazine will receive a personalized copy with their own name on it and their own neighborhood displayed on the cover. This is all thanks to the rise of database technology. Databases make many everyday transactions easier by storing information in easy-to-reach places. But as Reason magazine illustrates, databases also make our private lives a lot more public. So where's the balance? Are you happy to be living in database nation, or would you rather keep your credit rating, your grocery list, and your home private? Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And our email address is totn@npr.org. Joining us here in Studio 3A is Nick Gillespie, editor-in-chief of Reason Magazine. Thanks very much for coming in today.
It's my pleasure, Neil. Glad to be here.
So where did you get the idea of 40,000 different magazine covers? What were you thinking? I'm sure your accountants asked you that.
One of the surprising things is that it's hard to account for all of the costs, but in fact, it doesn't seem like it was all that much more expensive than a regular cover.
Really?
Because the technology essentially relies on a kind of super laser printer, a super color laser printer that's able to change pages on the fly, and it's a lot cheaper than you might think. At this point, we haven't been able to factor in all the man hours, but it costs us about $5,000 more to do about 45,000 personalized covers than it normally does. For our print run is around 60,000, mm-hmm. so we have 15,000 or so generic covers. But where the idea came from is I was talking with a fellow who runs Entremedia, which is a direct marketing firm based in Southern California, and he was telling me about this printer and about the ability to personalize pages. He does stuff with catalogs that uses some of this, but no magazine had ever done that yet, and I thought it was a really interesting idea, and then I was trying to think of what would we use this cover, or if we could personalize each cover, and actually we personalize the outside cover, the inside cover, and then the two back cover pages, the four kind of pages that wrap the magazine. What would we use that to illustrate? And that's where I conceived of a story, and I talked with Declan McCullough, who's a well-known tech journalist, to talk about what's it like living in a database nation? We have a lot of concerns about privacy now, and one of the things that we haven't accounted for in our magazine, or I haven't seen elsewhere, is what are the upsides? What are the unsung benefits of being in a database nation?
Well, we'll talk about the sunny side of database nation in just a minute. But you also have an editorial personalized for each subscriber,
that's right.
and this goes beyond the hello, Neil Cronin. Stuff. What kind of information do you have in there?
What we did is using basic census data that's out there in the public domain that you can pull off of the World Wide Web pretty easily. We put in things like what the average commute in your neighborhood is, what's the average median income, the median age, the general population of your zip code. Things like how many of your neighbors, what's the highest level of education that they have. And we were able to slot that into each editor's note that goes into each page. On the back, too, and this is a kind of interesting adaption of the technology, we have two ads, one for a D.C.-based public interest law firm called the Institute for Justice. And they've, at the state level, they keyed into what they called public domain abuse,
mm-hmm.
or rather eminent domain abuse. And they tell you how many cases of that have happened in your state. And then on the other back cover ad is the Marijuana Policy Project, which will tell you how your congressional representative voted on the issue of whether or not the federal government should continue to prosecute medical marijuana clubs in states like California, where medical marijuana is legal under state law.
So all of that is personalized. And
that's right.
One of the things that I found astonishing is that the data available, I mean, all these different satellite pictures were available for not a this wasn't hard to find, nor was it expensive.
Well, what's interesting about that is, and this tells you kind of the power of the media, I suppose, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, the New York Times ran a piece about our cover, and then we were using U.S. Geological Survey satellite photos, which are available for free also off the web. And we basically, the people at Entremedia wrote a software program that allowed us to bundle all of this information with our subscriber file. And then after reading about that in the New York Times, the head of Air Photo USA, which does high kind of high detail color aerial photos of the entire U.S. stepped forward and he said, you know, this is a really interesting demonstration project of this technology. So he offered, he donated essentially, you know, his services there. So that's one of the reasons why the cost we're not quite clear of. But in fact, as a mechanical operation, it really wasn't very expensive.
Yeah, that's interesting. You write in the editorial for this issue that we may have kissed privacy goodbye.
Right.
And good riddance, too. Well, I guess you're trying to be provocative, but when is less privacy a good thing?
Yeah, well, there's a couple of ways, and there are a lot of ways where it's frightening. I mean, I do also in the same editor's note talk about how there are innumerable privacy concerns raised by this,
mm-hmm.
but here are some of the ways in which living in what we call a database nation is a good thing. One thing is that it makes our lives a lot easier, richer, and more prosperous. One of the ways it does that is by lowering the cost of credit. We have taken for granted in this country that you can get credit applications approved automatically or within 5 minutes, even mortgages. You can get approved for a mortgage in a couple of hours. In the past, that was a multi-week process. One of the reasons we can do that is because there's a huge amount of personal information, very personal information about how much money we make, what our spending habits are, what our buying habits are, whether or not we pay our bills on time, have been pulled together in vast databases that all of the people who will give us money or do business with us can tap into. There are certain economists who have said that home mortgages in America are 2 points lower than they would be if this data was not as easily available.
And that is a huge amount of money.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Places like Gateway Computers went a few years ago, went from offering financing to the tune of about $377 million a year for mm-hmm. its computers. When it started tapping into quicker credit approvals, it now offers more than $2 billion a year in credit. And you might say, well, you know, who cares about that? But what that means is that people are able to get products that are cheaper and they're able to get them quicker. Other examples are like that. Not just in terms of being able to get quick credit, but when you go to your supermarkets or you go to a Walmart and you use a Super Saver card, that actually helps the companies track buying purchases and figure out what people want, what new products you might want. It allows them to maintain inventories with better precision. And all of that gets passed on. The lower the transaction cost of doing business, generally speaking, the cheaper the prices. So we're better off.
Our number, if you'd like to join us, is 800-989-8255, or email us, TOTN at NPR.org. And let's start with Hiron, and Hiron's in Nashville, Tennessee.
Hello.
Hi.
I was just curious on the liability issues of companies offering credit, all this personal credit.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any histories of people suing or, you know, getting money for this information being passed around?
Well, perhaps I'm sure there are with credit companies, but this is one of the places where privacy, we're not exactly sure what the concept means anymore. We know that it's been changing over the years, but we're not exactly sure where it is. But perhaps the highest profile case about this really has to do with an airline, probably not with a credit card company at this point, and that was JetBlue. Last year gave over $5 million passenger records to a private contractor that was working for the Bush administration's Justice Department to do a data mining procedure.
After I think JetBlue advertised personal information will not be provided
absolutely.
To third parties.
Yeah, which is interesting because it's now there are lawsuits going forward that JetBlue violated its own privacy policy. There are also laws, and this is the place where you have to be particularly careful. It's one thing. I don't personally have much of a problem if Walmart knows what my underwear size is or, you know, what kind of toothpaste I buy or whatever. The worst that they can do with that information, I think, is try and get me to buy more products at cheaper prices, and I can deal with that. When the government gets involved, we raise a lot of different issues, and one of the problems is that the main act that covers the way the government can access databases hasn't really been updated in any significant way since it was created in 1974.
And technology certainly hasn't changed since then. So
no, absolutely. Yeah, so we're in a status quo situation.
Okay. Hyman, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
We're talking with Nick Gillespie, editor-in-chief of Reason Magazine, about a provocative new issue that will show every subscriber to the magazine their home on the cover. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's talk now with Terry, who's with us from Phoenix, Arizona.
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air.
Okay. Just wanted to mention something that I'd read not too long ago, a couple things, actually. One, the satellites that are in geosynchronous orbit that have cameras are able to, at this point in time, from what I understand, be able to focus in on about a 3-foot diameter range of focus. and they're putting ones up now, or are going to be putting ones up that are going to be getting down to a half an inch in diameter, being able to focus in that close, being able to spot people more readily and track people or what have you. And I'm wondering how that's going to tie in with the RFID tag issue.
Oh, the radio frequency identity tag issue, right. That's coming up. I guess it's starting to be used in supermarkets. We were talking about last week, but go ahead.
Absolutely. With clothes, they're putting them in. Benetton wanted to have them with clothes. They had an order of over 5 million units, I believe it was, that got put on hold.
It's going to be a big thing right now. I think it's mostly for stock and big big items, but go ahead, Nick.
Well, this is, it's fascinating because this is what happens with any technology is that it allows, more uses and more abuses. And you can see where RFID tags, if people want to use them to keep track of their pets or keep track of their children, which are uses that have been talked about, it makes a lot of sense. It doesn't seem so threatening. It does seem more threatening if somebody is using that to track you. Of course, it's one thing to be the watcher. It's another thing to be the watch.
And it's one thing if it's Amazon.com suggesting you may want to buy the new book by the author you've bought books from before. It's another thing, again, if it's the government.
Right. And I mean, I think for certainly at Reason Magazine, one of the things that we always try to make, keep aware of is what's the role of choice here, of individual choice? One of the reasons why databases have been useful to particularly to retailers and to consumers is that it allows for more customized service and more personalized service. And we want that. We want individualized service. And that's really kind of the fun of the cover, which is also somewhat ambivalent and threatening because it is they know where you are, which can both be comforting. That means they can bring you the martini the way you want it, just perfectly mixed, or they can show up at any time when you don't want them there. This is the question is who decides? Who decides what technologies get used and in what ways?
And Terry, by the way, thanks very much for the call.
Yeah, who watches the watchers?
Yeah, exactly.
More watchers, I guess.
Yeah.
Thanks, Terry.
Thanks.
And one of the things you write is that everybody hates direct mail advertising until they get something that they actually want.
Yeah, exactly. And, what's funny about direct mail marketing is it's something like a $2 trillion a year business. So, for all of us who hate direct mail, there's a plenty of us who actually like it. Even internet spam, people buy millions of dollars of products every year through spam. So clearly somebody's using it and somebody wants it. And in a way, this type of customized technology is good in that it should get rid of junk mail, because really, what is junk mail? Junk mail is mail that does not appeal to you. And if sellers know more about you and can kind of tailor their pitches to you, then they're not going to waste their time and their money sending you stuff that you clearly are not interested in.
And, of course, spam is luncheon meat that doesn't appeal
That's
to
right.
you, unless you're in the Pacific Islands. They
That's
love it
right.
out there. I wonder, have other editors contacted you about personalizing their magazines?
Yeah. One of the things that's been most gratifying from a kind of journalistic or editorial perspective is the number of people who have called up or emailed me to whisper or to shout or to scream, I wish I had thought of that. So it's clearly captured the imagination of a lot of people. And in a way, this is a real fantasy. I mean, in that this is a ways off. But one thing that this issue kind of points to, or at least the cover wrap of this issue points to, is a future where we might have hyper individualized print publications that would be like personal mixed tapes almost for anybody, or mixed CDs, where you could contract with somebody or contact somebody and say, okay, these are the topics that I'm interested in. These are the writers that I like. These are the sorts of things I like to buy. Put together, knowing all of that, go out and search over the globe in terms of print publication and whatnot, and put together a magazine that is tailored to me that would be filled with articles that I'm actually interested in, as opposed to, unfortunately, as we know, most magazines come very rarely do people actually want to read the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And it would work something like Amazon, where, one of the geniuses of Amazon is that it takes advantage of the World Wide Web's technology and architecture, where it will introduce you to things that you hadn't thought about or you didn't know were out there. So it can act as a guide to a wider and wider world, as opposed to narrowing you just into a specific set of interests.
Nick Gillespie, thanks very much.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Nick Gillespie, editor-in-chief of Reason Magazine. He was with us here in Studio 3A. You can read Reason's June story on Database Nation at npr.org. I'm Neil Conan, NPR News in Washington.